Lowe'sTireCompany.com today.
Every level of command will continue to work together every day to establish an environment of dignity and respect where sexual assault is not tolerated, condoned, or ignored. I'm directing the service secretaries to implement methods to improve victim treatment by their peers, coworkers, and chains of command. Direct victim input will also be incorporated into these methods.
A lot of people warned that this was going to happen. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Chuck Hagel, the defense secretary, ordering there. You could hear him talking about it. Some big changes to confront military sexual abuse. And all of this in light of what happened with the with the Air Force colonel, and the fact that, you know, he obviously had been caught in a situation where he was, they say he was groping one of his underlings, twice in recent months, three-star Air Force generals have come under fire for throwing out sexual assault convictions for lower-ranking officers. According to the Pentagon survey, check this out, about 1 in 10 people who were sexually abused stepped forward to complain last year. That amounted to 3,300-plus cases in 2012, of which only 3,000 chose to press charges, and then it goes on from there. So Air Force officials addressed the latest sex scandal to hit the service, the arrest of the officer who led the Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Branch on sexual battery charges, of all things. He is actually General Mark Welsh. He is the Air Force Chief of the Air Force Chief of Staff, General Mark Welsh, told the Senate Armed Services Committee that he was appalled at the deeply troubling allegations against that colonel I mentioned, Colonel Jeffrey Krasinski. Krasinski was arrested on Sunday morning in Arlington, Virginia, not too far from the Pentagon, when he allegedly grabbed the breast of a woman he didn't know. He was drunk at the time, according to the police report. But again, look at what his title was, what he was running. He was leading the Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Branch. So I don't think that this is the last of this, not the last certainly that we'll hear about these problems that are happening in the military. So they were quick. Hagel was quick to jump on this. Without a doubt. All right, on this road, in this hour of ATN, we're going to kind of veer in a couple of different directions. There's a ton of things going on that have piqued my interest, and I think piqued yours too, based on so many of the emails that we received each and every show. We go to the mailbag, and of course, we will do that. Sources are saying three women were now raped. It resulted in five pregnancies, because more details are coming out about that house of horrors in Cleveland, where at least three women were rescued after one very brave woman was able to, Amanda Berry, was able to get herself in a position to get to the neighbor's house and call 911. It is just shocking when you start to hear all the things that happened there, plus Really, the saddest part of all this to me is the fact that the police were twice called to that neighborhood, to that specific house of Ariel Castro's, who was holding those women hostage, about some peculiar things. One, a woman who was naked and crawling in the backyard and didn't look right to them, let me look like something was wrong. And then another where there was banging and whatnot against the door. And the police went both times, left, said there was nothing to it. End of story. And this was years and years ago, where perhaps they could have been rescued so much sooner. And who knows what else would have been prevented there. So there's all kinds of nicknames now given to the Castro brothers. They're all equally ugly. People are trying to make sense of what happened at 2207 Seymour Avenue. And forget about it. You cannot make sense of what happened there. If you were driving by today, what you would see would be front backhoes, all that kind of stuff, digging up the ground around the house because they were looking for perhaps another woman that Michelle Knight, who had been in captivity the longest, said was there initially when she came there. And I think besides the fact that the cops missed the clues, didn't see anything when they went there, and it looked like a rickety house, and the way it was set up, why they didn't investigate further. The thing that is so brutal about this is the three women were barely a mile from where they had been abducted. I saw a map today. I looked at it. You could take your finger and trace it all the way up, and that's absolutely incredible. And then it's all in a three-mile radius, too. And Ariel Castro was a school bus driver. So you got one 14-year-old that was picked up and vanished. You have one 16-year-old turning 17 that was picked up. That's Amanda Berry. And how sad is that? One was at a cousin's house. One was at middle school. And the other one was coming back from her job at Burger King. And who knows what else will come out of this. There was evidence that they pulled out of the house, that the victims were held in chains during at least part of their captivity. The conditions were supposedly absolutely horrific. It was kind of a dungeon with where they were beaten and whatnot. Supposedly they lost some children as well. They had five babies, but they lost some children. The Cleveland police sergeant, Sammy Morris, said that when I was reading all these accounts of it, because you just can't put it down because you're so stunned and sickened that they missed what was happening here, that the cops had contact with Ariel Castro twice during the time the women were missing, both unrelated to reports about the missing women, however. And all three suspects, Ariel Castro and his two brothers, are being held on suspicion of rape and kidnapping, and they're getting the details of the abuse and how the victims were held and all that kind of stuff. Some of that is starting to come out as to why, you know, why they weren't able to get loose and what it was like for them. I think it's very sad. Plastic bags on the windows, officers knocking on doors, everything blacked out, not thinking anything's wrong with this. They even say one of the neighbors said they saw a little girl looking out of the house's attic window. And the neighbors tried. I mean, hey, to their credit, they tried. They saw a few things that didn't make any sense, but they tried to do something about it. There was even supposedly another call that came from a woman who lived in an apartment building who said that they called police because they saw three young girls crawling on all fours naked with dog leashes around their necks, three men controlling them in the backyard. They waited for 2 hours. The cops never came. Never came because I guess they thought it was some nut or something else, which just goes to show you that wouldn't you have to check out everything even if it's a pain in the rear end and seems like a bogus lead. I'm not trying to bag on the cops, but in this case, who's ever in charge of these units that were going out, they certainly missed a few clues without a doubt. Wow. But they're alive and safe now, and that's the good news. And these three scumbags will get what's coming to them. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it. With what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts, if you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
If you love pineapple as much as I do, I've got some great news for you. You're going to love this offer from Freeze Dry Guy. For the month of May, Freeze Dry Guy is offering the finest quality freeze-dried pineapple. A case of six number 10 cans yielding 114 servings at a special introductory price. First quality freeze-dried pineapple grown and packed with nothing added. This healthy treat works wonders with salad. It's great for snacking, hiking, hunting, camping, and for adding to your food storage program. And please note that Freeze Dry Guy's foods will store on your shelf for decades. Order now and get free shipping to your front door within the lower 48 states. The special introductory price is good until May 31st. For more information and a free complete product list, go to freezedryguy.com or phone 866-404-3663. freezedryguy.com, 866-404-3663.
He should not have a rest in peace symbol. He shouldn't be able to have his parents don't care about him. His mother and father won't come over and get him. His poor uncle had to do it. And that man lives here. I feel bad for him. They deserve nothing more than to be fed to the sharks.
The issue here was that had to bury this guy. And it really is sad when all these cemeteries say we're not going to do it. We're just burying a dead body. We're not burying a cause. We're not doing anything else. But they've turned it into, the guy's a terrorist, whatever he is. Still dead.
All right, the last voice you heard there was Peter Stefan. And, of course, he's stuck with the body of Tamerlan Tsarnaev. And he's had to endure all kinds of things and has no place to take the body because nobody will take it in Cambridge where Tamerlan lived for 10 years before he snuck off to Russia, supposedly, to become radicalized Islamic style in one of the camps. That all is starting to come out and be flushed out, of course, in the last couple of weeks. But regardless, the people of Boston, their lives were shattered. It is a revered thing, the Boston Marathon, all the people that lost limbs. It was mind-boggling, mind-blowing, life-altering. And this is a blue-collar, nose-to-the-grindstone kind of city where you got your brother's back, and so you could hear by the people in the front the opinions that feed him to the sharks. No rest in peace signs. His mother doesn't want his body. That's what they're saying. And the truth is there's some big problems here as to what could they possibly do. We had a caller suggest the other day, just cremate him, get rid, ship the box back to mama, which really was a brilliant idea. But in the Muslim religion, of course, that's not what you would do. I don't even think it's a question of that. It's a question of, okay, we're trying to figure out what do we do with this body? And we don't know, because if we can't force these cemeteries to take it, it really is a matter of shipping the body back to Chechnya or to Dagestan where the family is, and the family can't afford it. So it's a bizarre, very bizarre catch-22 for this guy who runs the funeral home. And, of course, for the people of Boston, they know where he is. It's infuriating them, and there's just nothing they can do, and it's eating them up. There's lots of protesters each and every day. Kind of the amount changes, but there are always people out there with signs and saying, you know, get rid of the body. Who cares? You know, anything you can imagine, they've written on signs. They want him gone away. There was even a guy in the neighborhood who put $500 in a fund and said, I'll start to raise the money to get him out of here. I can't even sleep at night. It makes me so sick. So he hates the idea of Tamerlan Tsarnaev, but he's willing to just pay to get him out of the neighborhood. So we haven't heard the last of that story because, you know, this is going on almost a month here, and there is no end to this so far. There's no, this is what we're doing, here's what we're trying to do. It has, nobody has the ending to this saga at this point. Something that got a lot of headlines this beginning of this week is Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, who's already lost 40 pounds. How did he do it? Was it Jenny Craig? Was it Weight Watchers? Was it juicing? What was it? The secret to his success right now is lap band surgery. The governor is furious that the story came out in a way. He's furious because he's saying, listen, this is nobody's business. This is my family's business. I think part of it is because he's being peppered with questions about whether he's running for governor, but whether he's running for president. And is that the reason in 2016? Is that the reason he's trying to slim down? He says it's about turning 50 and looking at his kids and wanting to be there for them. He's saying he struggled with the weight issue for 20 years, and his motivation was way more than the thoughts of a presidential bid. He says that it's not that. It's about his family. So he checked into a surgery center in the middle of February, and he got the operation done, and it included placing a silicone tube around the top of his stomach so it restricts the amount of food he can take at one time, and it makes him feel fuller faster. He was willing to talk about it a little bit because he really was upset that people knew about it, but he said, now, a week or two ago, I went to a steakhouse, ordered a steak, and ate about a third of it, and I was full. So clearly, the surgery was something that was kind of on his radar. Especially, he had conversations about the operation with the Jets coach Rex Ryan. He lost about 100 pounds, down from 350. He had that procedure done in 2010. So I guess he was mulling it over and decided that it was time to do it. But the story is like the shot heard around the world. It's again the buzz in the backyard. People are talking about the governor of New Jersey. Especially now, you see a lot of the signs for bariatric surgery, lap band, all that kind of stuff. You know, you notice that when you're driving down the highway, there are a lot of doctors specializing in it, and a lot of people, frankly, that are getting it done because they feel like they're at the point of no return. They have enough weight on because there's a certain threshold of how much weight you have to be overweight, I guess, according to the charts, to be able to do it. I mean, it's certainly a small amount that doesn't happen. But in the case of, you know, 100-something, yeah, they'll take your money and they will do the procedure. This might have swept under the radar because of so many other things going on. But one of three friends accused of helping the Boston Marathon bomber, Jokhar Tsarnaev, cover up his crime got out on bond on Monday. Robel Filippos left the federal courthouse. His mother got him out. He's going to stay at her house. He was living there before he was arrested, and he's going to be monitored electronically. That's what his lawyers say, and prosecutors agreed to it. So there were friends and relatives and people there that were there to wish him well when he came in jail, coveralls and handcuffs. You know, it begs that question of, are you nuts? You have a posse, you have a friend who does something like this, and you're trying to get rid of their stuff. You're running to their dorm room to throw it out. Are you kidding me? And, you know, this kid is saying he was under tremendous pressure when he was interrogated. He didn't have an attorney at the time to help him. He faces up to 8 years in prison, a $250,000 fine if convicted. The judge warned him not to tamper with witnesses on the threat of being locked up again. And he's a guy who's known Jokhar Tsarnaev for a while. He went to high school with him and went to a Latin school with him as well, where they both live in Cambridge, Massachusetts. So even though he hadn't talked to him for a couple of months before the bombing, he was taking a semester off from UMass and was only on campus the night of April 18th for a seminar. But being back on campus, is it the case of sheer coincidence and bad luck? Very well could be, but in the court of law, who knows what the decision will be made on him. And people are trying to do whatever they can to help him. But, you know, when you mess around with this and you're talking about terrorism and what happened at the Boston Marathon and the tragedy there and the people's lives that were lost, the victims in this whole thing, I don't think there's going to be much sympathy. It's going to be a hard road for the American to try to bounce out of it and get probation perhaps or something. I don't think so. I think he's going to end up doing, I think for sure he's going to end up doing some serious time, or at least a little bit of time. Finally, we hear from Dennis Rodman. Wasn't it so infuriating when Dennis Rodman was pictured hanging out with Kim Jong-un, and now finally he said that he called the North Korean leader to release the U.S. citizen Kenneth Bae, and maybe he's going to have a shot at a response. He said, I'm calling on him to do the right thing, to do a solid and cut him loose. Bae was sentenced to 15 years of hard labor last month after he was convicted of unspecified hostile acts against North Korea. The country's state-run Korean Central News Agency said that the Korean-American was arrested after arriving as a tourist, and then with the tour company, then they said that he was spying or doing something else, but he was just a tour operator who had been there in the past and had a visa to go north, but did he know what was going to happen to him when he went north? Probably not. So maybe the NBA Hall of Famer has a shot at getting him out, because they're talking about sending Clinton or somebody else to negotiate with Kim Jong-un. Remember, that worked in the past. Stay with us. We're kicking it to the other side here on America Tonight.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Mother's Day is this Sunday, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing last-minute deal. 1 dozen assorted roses plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. That's 1 dozen beautiful assorted roses, absolutely bursting with color, sent fresh from the fields and guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days for only $19.99 plus a free glass vase. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday. Go to ProFlowers.com, click on the radio microphone, and enter the secret code MOM20. Plus, for a very limited time, ProFlowers has an even sweeter deal for you. Order now and you can double your roses. That's right, double your roses. And get free chocolates for just $10 more. Remember, Mother's Day is this Sunday, and this incredible last-minute deal expires this Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to go to ProFlowers.com, click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code MOM20.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop 6 hits. But what about the 7th? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
He is just the greatest show on NPR. Wait, don't tell me. Peter Sagal, of course, and he's got something new cooking, Constitution USA. Wait till you hear about this show. He's going across the nation to look at the Constitution. And what did I read? How many words? There were 4,418 words, 27 amendments. Of course, we know that. And I know this really resonates with this audience across America.
Sure.
Peter's doing it in a very interesting way. Peter, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it, man.
It's my pleasure to be with you.
Hey, so tell everybody how you're doing this journey. Are you doing it in a Winnebago? Or what are you walking?
Please,
what are you doing?
Please, speak not of those uncool conveyances. No, we did this by taking a Harley-Davidson, a stock 2012 Road King for your biker listeners, and putting a fabulous paint job on it, red, white, and blue with We the People written on the gas tank in the constitutional style of the script, and riding that thing across the country. And we're talking to people about the Constitution, but not just, you know, people on the street, although we do that as well. The people we're talking to are people who are deeply involved, willingly or not, in constitutional issues, a medical marijuana person in California, a gun enthusiast, a gun advocate in Montana, a guy whose home was torn down by the city of New London after they won the very controversial Supreme Court case known as Kelo versus New London, which expanded the eminent domain. One of the Little Rock Nine, who at the 1957 was a little girl who was escorted by the 101st Airborne into her high school because the Supreme Court had ordered integration. And the people of Little Rock resisted, and Eisenhower sent in the troops to enforce the law. People like that, people who are really, willingly or not, at the center of our constitutional debates now. We didn't want to do, you know, classic history, 225 years ago, these people in wigs did this thing, and shouldn't we all be grateful? No, we wanted to do it like, what's happening now? How does the Constitution work and live today?
Yeah. The what was one of the most surprising things you found in doing this?
Well, I mean, we found a lot of things that were surprising and interesting. In general, the most surprising thing is that the Constitution just isn't what a lot of people think it is. And I include myself before I started this project. Most people think of the Constitution as this ruling law that all by itself will solve your problems, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you want free speech, well, the Constitution will protect it. If you want guns, the Constitution will protect that. If you want freedom of movement or to hold onto your property, well, this is a free country and the Constitution and I have my rights. The Constitution by itself does nothing. It is a piece of paper or four pieces of parchment. All it does by itself is slowly fade. The thing that makes the Constitution work is us, is Americans, and our daily interactions with each other and our group decision to simply abide by it and the rule of law. And that means everything from the fact that a police officer doesn't beat the hell out of you to get a confession when he arrests you. It means you're going to agree to take a parking ticket or challenge it in court rather than, I don't know, run off into the woods with your weapons and hide from the police. It means the president agreeing to leave office when he or she loses an election. All of those acts together, millions of them committed every day, create the Constitution. It's not the paper, it's us.
Absolutely. And in talking about the stories, as you mentioned, medical marijuana, Little Rock Nine, interesting. So really a wide swath. How did you narrow down? Because there are so many issues. How did you narrow down who you wanted to talk to?
It was tough. One of the things we wanted to do is we wanted to get away from what everybody thinks of when they think of the Constitution. And they usually mean First Amendment, Second Amendment, and or abortion. That's what you hear about. And those are all important, by all means. I don't want to dismiss those concerns. But there are so many other things that actually pertain to the life as we live it on a daily basis. For example, we wanted to explore the Commerce Clause. The Commerce Clause is a really interesting thing that most people don't really understand. It refers to a phrase in the Constitution that Congress shall have the power to regulate trade among the several states. That's the Commerce Clause, mm-hmm. or regulate commerce among the several states. And the meanings of those words have been debated for pretty much our entire history. And in the 20th century, as our interpretation of those words changed, we created what we think of as the modern regulatory state. It's really important. It's why we have an FDA. It's why we have an EPA. It's why we have Obamacare, all done under the Commerce Clause, although mm-hmm. in the end it was done under the taxing power, but that's getting technical. You want to talk about federalism, another boring concept that's really important. Well, that's medical marijuana. The guy selling medical marijuana in Oakland, is perfectly legal under California law. He's a law-abiding taxpayer, according to the state of California. According to the federal government, he's a criminal deserving of the death penalty. And that's not hyperbole. We passed a death penalty act that subjects high-volume drug dealers to the death penalty. How can he be both things at once? And it's a difficult question. And again, an argument that we've been having ever since the country was founded. Who's in control? Your locality, the state, the government?
Yeah, absolutely. And this sounds like we're doing my show, because that's what we talk about constantly, as you can imagine.
Well, it's good all, for you. It's important.
It is important. You weave in so many different issues. You know, we talked at the top the fact that you're doing this on a motorcycle and on this road, hitting the road on the motorcycle. How was that for you? Because, you know, traveling cross-country, that's not exactly easy.
Well, no, I need to be honest with you. I didn't actually travel across the country. It would have taken way too long for me to, say, ride from my home in Chicago all the way to Oakland, where we interviewed that medical cannabis salesman. So what we did was we put the bike on a trailer, and using the magic of Hollywood, we moved it about that way. Although I did, in the end, put about 1,000 miles on it. Sometimes it was just easier to ride the damn thing than put it in the trailer. So I got a lot of time in the bike, and let me tell you, that was awfully great. I had forgotten how wonderful it was.
Well, we know this is going to be educational for everybody, certainly, who watches this. But for you, as you said that, you said there were some things you didn't realize. What were some of the key takeaways for you as far as the Constitution is concerned?
I think that the Constitution has levels of genius that I didn't appreciate. That the Constitution was at its ratification, and this I'm quoting Akhil Rita Mar, one of our experts, the single greatest event in the history of mankind. And he laid that out on me, you know. And I'm like, oh, please, really? But it's true. If you think about it, all prior human history, government was by force with, you know, slight variations. Sometimes the elite and most powerful group would agree to share power, and you'd get something like Athenian democracy, which still had slaves and non-citizens and people who had no choice about how they would live their lives. It wasn't until 1787, when an entire people, a continent's worth of people, were able to vote on how they would govern themselves. And they decided to govern themselves democratically. They didn't vote on a king. They didn't vote to hand over power to a monarchy. They voted on a form of government that will allow them to perpetually govern themselves. And that really had never happened before in the history of the world. And ever since then, of course, that notion, that idea of people taking their government into their own hands has been, if not the norm, it's been the ideal that more and more and more countries have moved towards. And that's really an amazing thing. I never really appreciated that before. That's maybe the most significant thing.
Yeah, wow. Do you have a, you know, for me, the favorite amendment, of course, is Amendment 1, but I grew up in a journalism household. I got a journalism
sure.
degree, so that kind of makes sense, even though I've looked at other amendments and talked to constitutional scholars, and we look at the challenges now and what's happening in the court system with some things that relate to the Constitution. But still, Amendment number 1 is always my favorite. What about you?
Well, it's tricky. My joke is my favorite is Amendment number 3 because, you know, I just don't like troops being quartered in my home. I think that there, if you really wanted to go someplace, I'd look at the Fifth and Eighth Amendments, Fifth, Sixth, and Eighth, because they're the ones that help us and protect us when the government is out to get us. I guess you'd include the Fourth. And that's really important because the idea that we have, I mean, you know, like, look at this. You and I are having this conversation on the radio, and no one's going to stop us.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, I could say one of the 7 words, and maybe you'd get in trouble, fine, but, you know, nobody cares.
Right.
What happens to you when the government decides they really don't like you? What happens when the government decides that you're a danger? It's then that you really need the protections. And so the protections for criminal defendants and civil defendants, the protections against search and seizure, the protections about the nature of trials we have, those are really important. Because we are most vulnerable when we are at our most unpopular. So I came to a real appreciation of those protections, and more than that, the people who make sure those protections work. One of my favorite people we talked to is a woman named Maya Angel Cody, who works as a federal defense attorney here in Chicago. And she is a very bright woman. She could be working for a lot more money in any private law firm she wanted the second she raised her hand and said she'd be willing to do it. But she believes that by defending, I guess what some people would call the worst of the worst, you know, we're talking drug users and petty criminals and guys who are in endless amounts of repeated trouble. But by defending those people, she believes that she is upholding the Constitution in a profound way. And I agree with her. Because the government can't just throw you in jail. They can't just decide you're not worth having around. They have to prove it. They have to accord you rights. They have to give you a chance to defend yourself. Again, unheard of in human history.
Yeah, no kidding. You look at other situations, state-run news agencies. You know, if you look at even China, certainly North Korea, and there's a slew of other places. That's why they all thirst, Peter, so many people to come to America to drink in the freedoms that we have.
It's exactly.
Good, it's a good reminder.
We went to a naturalization ceremony for new citizens in Chicago, and we talked to everybody about the reasons they came to America and went through the process of becoming citizens. Not an easy thing to do. And many of them, as you would expect, they wanted to be free, they wanted to make a living, they wanted more opportunity for themselves and their family, just like you and I would. But there were some people, one guy who told us about the story about how he was taken in the middle of the night by the police in his home country of El Salvador and tortured. I mean, in other countries, there's nothing to stop people from doing that. And here, not only do we have our Bill of Rights, but even more importantly, we have ranges of people who are determined to uphold it. And that's really what saves us all, this American creed that everybody has rights, we are a government of laws, and we will behave according to those dictates at all times. And if we screw it up, we'll self-correct. If we screw it up, we'll hold the person responsible, we'll undo the damage and move on.
Yeah, well said. Can't wait to see this. Folks, tonight, of course, and we're going to be covering it. And it starts at 9 o'clock, Constitution USA, with Peter Segal. Peter, thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. It's great to talk to you. Thanks for your good work.
Thanks. Bye-bye, Pete.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free, a 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to efoodsdirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply, be in control, be self-sufficient, and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanix.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LaCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LaCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LaCig.com. And LaCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LaCig.com, spelled LECIG.com. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Sugarfoot called me last night. She said, his girl called him. She said, can I come over? She said, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Finally, we're checking that mailbag again. I'm so fond of saying this, I'm going to say it again. You have some thoughts, you want to let it fly, you want to vent, you want to tell me what you think about the Constitution, you want to tell me what you think about Chris Christie's secret lap band surgery, you want to react to the craziness of the capture of the three teenagers who were kidnapped in Cleveland, do it, americatonight.net. Many of you already have. So with that, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Top on the list, Bobby in New Jersey says, yo, Governor Chris Christie, Kate Delaney, what do you think of that? I was stunned. I saw it come across the screen when I was looking at CNN at work that he had weight loss surgery. For some reason, I'm surprised by this. I can't imagine that the governor wanted that to get out. What do you think? Oh, he was not happy that it got out. He said it's none of your business. But when you're a public figure, everything's everyone's business. We live in the world where nothing's secret. And there's no doubt about it that Christie was too heavy. He says it wasn't about trying to run for a higher office, because, you know, his name keeps coming up when we talk about presidents in the future for the Republicans. He's certainly on the bench. It's debatable as if he would be the guy who would get the nomination, and it's too far away. We can certainly spitball that, but he, you know, it's up in the air. But he's on the short list. And if you think of our presidents and the shape they've been in, there's a thing called fighting weight, and really they've all been fighting weight for the most part. You could go way back. You could talk about Teddy Roosevelt, certainly, and some others, but there's just no doubt, especially with the world we live in. So he's saying it was about his health, it was about his family, and it wasn't at all about politics going further up the chain. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with the lap band surgery, because sometimes that takes a while to take, and then, you know, there's a whole thing about the food and what you can eat, but, wow, it is big news. There's no doubt about that. All right, we move on to this one from Jake in Austin. Man, Jake, you get the award for the longest emailer every single day, almost, unless he's gone away. He sends us emails. That's probably been in the last 2 years. And this is what Jake writes. I was horrified to learn about some of the details of those three women who were kidnapped. They were just children, for goodness sake. How awful for those families to go through that anguish. I cannot imagine having a 16-year-old daughter who goes off to work her job, is going to school, and here we are getting ready to celebrate a birthday, and she vanishes from the face of the earth, and they cannot find her anywhere, and she shows up 10 years later. Horrifying. They should castrate all three of those men, but of course we live in America. That won't happen, but they deserve to get the toughest sentence that you could possibly imagine, and that would be life, life, life. So odd, Kate. Yeah, it is so odd. You know, the three women are now united with their families, and can you imagine how tough that is? The conversations, what you avoid saying, trying to comfort them. Just, I read one story about the mother of Gina De Jesus, and she said she was so distraught, and she had moved to Florida, and when she came, would come back and visit in Cleveland, she was still putting out flyers if anyone had any information about her daughter. She was still doing that somewhere in the back of her mind, hoping that some miracle would happen, and it's very strange. Now that they have to start over again. All right, so Jake wasn't the only one who wanted to know about that. Chuck, listening in Illinois, says, I can't believe that those three scumbags did what they did to those young girls. There's just something so wrong about that. I can't even describe it to you aptly in this email. I know that I have a daughter, and she's wonderful, and would make me so beyond furious. I can't use the words. If something were to happen to her, I would want retribution. They would have to hold me back. It is sickening. There is no explanation for this whatsoever. Just seedy, sick men. Yeah, I mean, think about it. Tied up for all that time. I mean, who knows the ins and outs of what went on once they were in the house, probably in the beginning, and then, you know, 10 years is a long time if you look at the timeline of that. Does this give, here's what I think, the other flip side of this, and I kind of wonder, with this Cleveland case, and we've seen a few others, do some parents out there who have had children missing for a long time, does this give them some sense of hope that perhaps they could get lucky, that something, you know, that they could be that miracle, that something could happen and they could get that call in the middle of the night or whatever. I mean, certainly this is horrific and terrible and awful, but I guess the good thing is there still is life, and they still have these kids back, but they're not kids anymore. I mean, one of the girls was 14 years old, for goodness sake, and I mean, that's just crazy awful. 14 years old. Wow. Just, I can't believe it. All right, let's move on to the next one. And, boy, everybody's talking about a couple of different things here. This one comes to us from Bill, who says, Hi, America. Tonight, I've been listening to the show for quite some time. I have to say, I seem to enjoy it more and more when I get the opportunity to tune in. I heard you describe what happened to the bride and some of the bridesmaids, I'm assuming, in that terrible limo fire. I would think that the California investigators would be anxious to get to the bottom of that, how it exploded. And I saw the pictures of it after you described it. I went and looked at it, and you're right, it's just terrible. It looks like it is a bombed car somewhere in Afghanistan, and I can only imagine how those families feel. For goodness sake, she was on the doorstep of getting married. Imagine the man that she was supposed to marry and how he feels. Just chilling. Just another reason why you have to live each day to the fullest. Again, love the show. Keep listening. I talked about that a couple days ago. It happened over the weekend, and they still don't know. They had thick smoke, a fire in the back of the limousine. They desperately, the bride even, tried to squeeze through a tiny partition. And one of the women made it out that way. In fact, four of them altogether made it out that way. They were able to squeeze into the front and then get out. But five didn't make it, and this is just so sad, they found their bodies pressed against the partition, so they were probably trying to get out, and it was too late. You know, four made it out, the driver made it out, and then that was it. There was no, it was too late. They couldn't get out. and it just was so quick, the fire. So the driver stopped the car, got out of the car, and did whatever he could to help them. And it's, man, it is a very depressing story without a doubt. Here's another one about the limo driver, and this one from Ann from Missouri. And Ann says, Kate D, been listening. Got to tell you, I am wondering what really is the story with that limousine. How can they explain that it just exploded? Did somebody jimmy-rig it? Was there something that was flammable that was somehow in that car and caught fire? Was somebody smoking a cigarette? Is there something that we don't know about it? It's a terrible, terrible story, and it had to be a painful, awful way to die in what should have been a very celebratory time in someone's life. I wonder if more people will not want to take limousines and that sort of thing when they go out to these bachelor or bachelorette parties. Now, there have been some freak accidents in limousines, but, you know, that's like saying, I will never cross the street because of a terrible story I heard about someone crossing the street and they got killed out of nowhere, and freak things happen, and this is probably one of those circumstances because, you know, how does it catch fire? That's, again, the thing we want to know. Why, how did that happen? Was it something in the limousine? Was it something in the back of the limousine? You know, what was it? Because it went up so fast, and that's the thing you can tell when you look at the car. You can see that, the burned-out car, you can see that it went up so quickly. There just was no way to get everyone out of there. I guess that's the, you know, I guess that's the other thing. And, you know, maybe some of those cars, especially these long cars that they have, how they remodel and stuff, maybe there's some danger to that. What are the exits? How many people have to jump out of the car if you've ever been in a limousine, a big stretch limousine? And that's what that was with as many of the women that were in there. All right, one last one I think we have time for, and this one comes to us from Brett, who says, Kate, I am so anxious to hear about the Benghazi testimony. And that happens, I think you said, later this week. The Republicans are going to try to show that there was some kind of cover-up. The whistleblowers will add to the drama of this Benghazi testimony, without a doubt. And I would have to say that it seems as though there is some kind of a cover-up here, because the reports don't match up from everything I've read and from what you've talked about on America Tonight. You know, it just didn't sit right with anybody. And you mentioned this. You wondered if this would hurt Hillary Clinton when it came to a possible run for president. Yeah, that'll be the curious thing, because does this come back on Hillary? Remember, she leaves the State Department. She's the top dog there. What did she know? You know, I think this does have possibilities for toppling Clinton if it traces all the way up to her. But we'll see what happens there. Hey, thanks for all your emails. Appreciate it.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.